Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. The Bible speaks of losing God's favor when we choose to live a lifestyle contrary to diligence. The Bible's word for procrastination is slothfulness or being a sluggard. Depending on your translation, it is a lifestyle opposite to diligence, and it is the reason why people struggle to get ahead. In this study, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, shows us how to get ahead in life. He answers the question, how do we stop? And blessing of God. Let's open our Bibles and join Pastor Smith as he shows us that there are five biblical principles that show us how to get ahead in life.
Father, we are so grateful for your goodness and your blessing, and we are mindful that every And Father, contrary to what some people are saying, the Bible's very clear that if we trust and obey, we get the blessing. Father, we just don't get blessing just because we go off and do our own thing, but it's because we make a profession, or we have to possess that faith in you and that trust in you every single day. And when we do what you tell us to do, you meet that. In fact, James 4 tells us, Lord, you're so good to us to tell us how to get this thing to work. If we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. And so, Father, I pray today you would work in us, you would work through us, and Father God, as you use your word, may the Spirit of God make a change in us. May we understand how life works in your realm. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Why can't I ever get ahead? I've heard that dozens and dozens and dozens of times from people. Why can't I get ahead? Well, I want to talk about that today. Jeannie Schaeffer was talking about the fact that her sister was bemoaning the fact that she couldn't organize, and since finally she was planning to entertain some people, she decided, I got to clean this mess up. And so she went down to the bookstore and she bought a book on how to organize and in her disgust, her sister said, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, as I was cleaning, I got to the bookcases and I was taking the books off and I was dusting them and I was putting things back in order. Found the very same book that I bought just now. I bought already before. I'm telling you, you know what that's like. I know what that's like, where it's just, why can't I get ahead? Well, the reason is that we do the same thing. All of you and I do all, we always do the same thing. We know what to do. We just don't do it. And your knowing isn't growing until your knowing is showing. You got to do it. Okay? You got to do it. I got to do it. I love Zig Ziglar. He just stepped into the presence of the Lord just recently. He wrote a great book years ago called Top Performance. And in that, he did a nationwide survey. And he said that the average worker, are you ready for this? The average worker wastes 9 full work weeks at the job, simply putting off, postponing stuff that should be done. Now, I bet you this survey's been redone. I bet you it's going to be more than 9, because now we have something called Facebook. Postponing, procrastinating. In fact, the average employee procrastinates 18% of the time. That's 1 out of 5. They wanted to know why in the world, what are the reasons for this kind of procrastination? And this is what they found. Unwillingness or inability to make a decision, or a failure to understand their responsibilities, or a lack of communication, or this one's my favorite, boredom. Low morale, lack of interest in the job, absence of clear-cut goals or objectives, fear of failure, too large a workload, lack of discipline, poor self-esteem. You could add to this list urgent. You know what that is, right? The tyranny of the urgent. There's always something that's got to be done, it's got to be done, it's got to be done. And you can have a priority list of things that have to do, be done, but you know somebody else has got another list for your life. Could be your boss, could be your spouse, could be a child, could be a neighbor. It just, there is something more to do. My to-do list right now has 40 urgent things on it. 40 urgent things on it. Some of them, Phil asked me for one. What was that, about 3 months ago you asked me for that, and I finally sent it to you this week and gave you that? Yeah, I mean, it's like, whoa, tell you, life goes by. It's crazy. It's crazy. You and I have to understand this diligence thing, this thing where if we don't watch out, you and I are going to struggle all the way through life. Now, God talks about that there are some obstacles to His favor and to His blessing. I want to run you through 7 of them because I want to get you to the prescription side. There are 4 prescriptions you can fix so you can get out of this why can't I ever get ahead routine. Now, read with me. We've been talking about this whole series is based on Luke 16, 10 through 12. Let's just read it together one more time. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? The bottom line in life is this. God blesses people who are responsible to do what He says. As I mentioned in the prayer, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Now, when you draw near to God, that's part of that is, and part of that for me is to do what He says, trust and obey, to believe what He says. So why can't I get ahead if I claim the name of Jesus Christ? Why can't I get ahead if I'm professing that I love Jesus? Well, there's probably dozens of these. Let me just share with you 7 reasons why we can't get ahead. Here's the first one. But people who procrastinate are always waiting for more favorable working conditions. They want something bigger, better, and sweeter. Okay? We were reminded at FPU this week that our children want to have all of the blessings of their parents. The children want to have all the blessings of their parents, and they want to have it right away, but it took their parents their entire lifetime to get those things. They want the house, they want the car, they want all of the vacation, they want everything, and they want it now. But that's not how life works. When you try to explain things to people, like, you know, you need to start at the entry level. In fact, we were watching this new program, maybe you've seen it, Undercover Boss. And the guy this last week was talking about the fact that even though he was the heir apparent to the company, him and his brother, they had to start at the very beginning and they had to work their way through the company and do every single job. Well, there's a purpose for that. You have to understand how things work. You have to, we call it earning your chops. But there's a lot of people that won't do those menial tasks. And the Bible speaks about those people. Read it with me what the Bible says about that. Lazy people consider themselves smarter than 7 wise counselors. In other words, they always have some reason why they don't, why they won't, why they couldn't, shouldn't, and wouldn't do that. You know, when you're struggling, it's important just to get down and do it. Get busy in it. Now, since this series is a series on finances, we're talking about if you don't have work, get a job, do something. The Bible's very clear. Oh, well, you know, just go out and get a job, okay? You can't be promoted until you're actually doing something. Second, I'm making the easier decisions in my life is another reason why I can't get ahead in life. I don't do the hard thing, I do the simple thing. Melody and I have discovered this new game. Tabitha gave it to us, and we absolutely love it. The game's called Ticket to Ride. We love it. In fact, there's an app version that Melody and Tabitha were playing before worship this morning on Tabitha's iPad. We love this game because points are awarded based on the fact that you cover a distance from one city to another with your little trains. Some cities are short distances. In the east, for example, some cities are farther distance. But one of the keys to winning is that the farther the distance, the greater the points. For example, if your train is only one spot, guess what? You're only going to get 1 point. But if it takes 2 trains to get it, you're going to get 3. If it takes 4 trains to get it, you can see I know the game pretty well. You get 7 points. If you have five, you get 10 points. But if the train, which is the longest stretch, is six trains in between city to city, you're not going to get a smaller amount. You're going to get a larger amount. In fact, you'll notice here you're going to get 15 points. What I'm saying is this very simple rule that even game makers understand. The harder the stretch, the greater the reward. The more difficult you put in, the more reward you're going to get out of it. Even game makers understand that. Well, the Bible's very clear that it's the little surrenders that destroy life. They seem harmless at the time. Staying in bed a little longer, waiting a few more minutes to start a project, spending a little more time in idle chatter. Have you seen that new Samsung commercial for the phones? They're in the cubicle, and the lady's standing up, and the guy's sitting down, and these new phones are really nice. You can do two things at once, she says. And he says, yeah, they're really good. And she said, yeah, like, you know, you can play with them, basically. You can chat, and you can also do other. And he said, well, you could probably be listening to the sales report and taking notes right now. Oh, yeah, I guess you could do that, too. So then another guy comes in and says, anybody written the sales report on the meeting yet? He stole the report, so he decided, you got to understand how this works. People who work better get more work so that they can be promoted. And sure enough, he says, well, great, why don't you do the next report, and we'll go to lunch. Now, you read that, and you hear one thing that isn't true. You hear, oh, if I... The quiet guy who went to lunch isn't the one who's going to get ahead. The one who's going to get ahead is the one who's dependable. Because pretty soon that person's going to be constantly the person that the boss looks at and says, I'm going to promote you. You're always there. You're always working. You're always working. You're always working. I want you. Teddy shared a story like that last week with me after worship service. Exactly how life works. That's exactly how life works. Bosses notice what we do. So does God. In fact, the Bible's pretty clear about this. Read with me Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. A little sleep. Prowler, destruction like a warrior. You see, it's those daily surrenders, those little things. They're the ones who come up and they just sneak up and pretty soon they just take you by surprise. Well, they take you by surprise. They don't take a wise person by surprise. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Read it with me. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Whoa! Even though we're urban people, we should figure this out. If you don't plow, you can't plant. And if you don't plant, you can't harvest. Now listen, they call it work for a reason. It's hard. You don't work because it's fun. You work because you want the harvest of work. No one works to say, oh, boss, could I work 10 hours a day? I just absolutely love working. Well, it'd be nice if you could do that. But that isn't the reason you work. At the end of the week, you work so, oh, boss, I've worked 10 hours every day this week, so I would like my paycheck and my overtime. Exactly. Exactly. You see, laziness induces deep sleep. And a lazy person will go hungry. Have you ever noticed how tired lazy people are? It's so much fun to talk to people and see how they are. And I've always been amazed at the number of people who do nothing and they're just worn out by it. You see, if I can't get ahead if I'm not working. Now, there's a good thing. There's a good feeling when you're really tired, right? You worked hard. You come home. You've been worked all day. I remember working in concrete. Oh, my goodness. I was always working on concrete with Melody's dad, the contractor. Working on concrete. Come home. And I would literally... reason is I'm misunderstanding the consequences of my procrastination. And the American government is doing a fine job of removing as many consequences as it possibly can. Now listen to me. We've just fallen off the cliff. Okay? But you need to understand that was only 2% of the budget of the government. 2%. You know what that was equivalent to? That was equivalent to Mr. Obama's removal of the 2% Social Security holiday that we got in January. Now, when we got it, we were forced to take it. Congress gets it, and everybody blames somebody for it in Congress. Listen, 2% is 2%. It's not fun. I don't like 2% out of my check either. However, it's not going to kill us. Procrastination, you're going to... Those are the consequences of a Congress who spent 18 months procrastinating to pay the bill. Now, I don't do politics here. I'm doing Bible. It was just very nice for Congress to give me a wonderful illustration of this biblical point. Everybody knows about it right now, so it's the best illustration I can give you. Now listen, remember what the Bible says. Proverbs 14:12. Read it with me. So then, each of detailed account of every deed we've done, of every word, idle word we've said, of every thought we've thunk, of every intent we've had. For salvation? Absolutely not. For rewards, for position in heaven. Again, I encourage you, right next to this verse, right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, go home and read it. God is very clear. Some of us don't get the idea that when we're a lazy person, it's just frustrating to me. We're a lazy person. You and I struggle, it seems like, in laziness to realize that there is a consequence. What I do not do now, I'm going to have to do later. I'll pile on my desk. Okay. Have any of you ever in your pile, don't raise your hands, pile on your desk, this is the important stuff. It's the pile on your desk. This is the urgent stuff. That's why it's there. It's because it's important and you need to get to it. Have you ever went through your pile realizing you missed a few things, you just threw them in the trash because now it's too late? Oh, I've been there, done that. Man, I've been there, done it. Now, it feels good sometimes. I didn't have to do that. But we don't think about the consequences of not doing that. The consequences of not doing that start off very simply with this. People begin to wonder if they can trust you. You said you'd do this, and now your word is worthless. We're in a staff meeting this week. School's being audited. Chancellor simply says, Dr. Smith gives me a file folder of every class, has all the details in it. I know exactly where he's at, and so when the auditors come, we're going to know exactly where we're at. And then looks at other professors and says, I don't have anything from you. The consequences of procrastination. We all have to give an account. I'm very aware of my accounting. I don't want an account. How many of you are looking forward to this account? Better than an IRS account, because the IRS, they don't know your intent. Okay? God's going to look at my intent. He's going to say, whoa. Now, I have learned over my lifetime this Bible verse. I can't break away from it. Here it is. Would you read it with me? Proverbs 12:24. A hard worker is in charge, while a lazy one will be sentenced to hard labor. It's always the hard guy, the hardworking guy, who's going to get ahead. He's going to eventually be in charge. Now, everybody's worked for a moron. Do I have an amen in the room? Everybody's worked for the boss's son who's an idiot, okay, or whatever. But eventually, life weeds those people out. And the hardworking and they found. Let me give you another one. Reasons why I can't get ahead. I'm seeing opportunities as more work when I really want to rest. Oh, it took me a while to learn this one. Lazy people are lethargic people. They see every job as a mountain or an obstacle to getting to where they want to be, which is vacation or the weekend. I always get a tickle out of people who look at Wednesday as hump day. Oh, it's hump day. It's all downhill from here, which tells me that their whole value system is the weekend. But Christ has called us to live every day. Every day. Work hard every day. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get what? Precious wealth. How does he get it? He gets it from hard work. Get it as the overtime. Look at it as God's way of providing for you. Look at it as an opportunity to be tested to see the boss is seeing and God is watching to see whether you're worthy, whether I'm worthy. Because as Solomon said a long time ago, laziness leads to a sagging roof and idleness leads to a leaky house. I love this picture. Can you see it? I don't have the money to fix it. And if I had the money to fix it, I don't want to go up and do it. And if I had the money to fix it, I don't want to hire anybody to do it, so my roof's going to leak. You and I. But hard work is not something that slackers like. Read this one with me. I went by the field of a slacker, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Thistles had come up everywhere. Weeds covered the ground. And the stone wall was ruined. Essentially, Solomon is saying something very simple. You can see if a person's lazy or you can see if they're diligent. Look at their work area. Look at their home. You can tell. This is probably one of the most convicting sets of verses that in my life. I struggle with this all the time. Did a bunch of things, cleaned things up, worked through the projects I'm working through. And I realize I'm working on 10 major projects right now, and I have a pile for each one because my little house doesn't have enough room in it for all the projects I'm doing. And I think about these verses, I think, am I being diligent enough? Am I filing things fast enough? And the answer was no. And so we spent the whole day Friday working on this. You see, these messages, they might convict you, but I'm the guy who has to prepare them. And they convict me for a lot longer than the few minutes you listen to them. They go after me all week long as I'm working through them. Let me give you one more. I'm living in a world of my wishes, not my actions. Some of you are familiar with this idea. Ship sinks in the ocean. Three men manage somehow to escape. They swim to this small island. They're there for a few days. They're eating fish and whatever they can scrounge, and then a bottle washes up on the shore, and the guy wonders what's in the bottle. He pulls the lid, and sure enough, out pops a genie. The genie says, I'm going to give each of you one request. So the first guy says, I wish I was home, and poof, he was gone. Second guy says, man, I wish I was home, and poof, he was gone. Third guy's not too bright, and he says, man, I'm lonely. I wish those guys were back here. Boom. You've heard the saying, if wishes were horses, we'd all take a ride. I know you've got dreams, but goals and hard work are the ladder to get to your dream. I don't care where your dream is going. You have to talk. Drop it down and give it to them. Okay? Now, if you want a nice retirement, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to save money. You're going to have to stop spending. We were surprised to hear that one man said that he had spent... They were spending $1,200 a month eating out. Were you amazed to hear that? $1,200 eating out? And they said, well, I figured out where my retirement is. I'm eating it. Whoa! Goodness gracious. If I want a retirement, I have to put money into it. I have to stop ignoring and I have to stop congratulations, $830-some. That's what you get a month. Now, I don't know where you can live in the South Bay for $830-some. I just don't know where you can do that. So I'm going to have to come up with some other plan. You see, when the sluggard isn't sleeping, he's dreaming about things he wants that he can't pay for. Because their hands refuse to do anything. The lazy desire things constantly. And there is a wonderful reality in America today. How many of you received an offer for a credit card this week like we did? Look at the hands. Keep them up. Look at the hands. How many of you gotten one in the last 2 weeks? Look at that. See? Now, if they keep offering you credit cards and you keep credit cards are going to get maxed out. I was talking to a guy this week and he has 4 credit cards maxed out. His solution was to apply for another one. Which, of course, he could because he's got such a great FICO score because he uses all of his credit cards and pays the minimum. They love that. They've got you enslaved forever. Those desires will kill us. They will destroy us. I get a tickle out of it. Sometimes Solomon is just so funny and getting it. Just I wanted you to get the flavor of the Hebrew here, so I put it in the message. Message isn't a good translation, but it is funny here. You get the import of what the Hebrew is trying to say. Let's read it together. Proverbs 19 and 24. Read it with me. Some people dig a fork into a pie and are too lazy to raise it to their mouth. You know these people. Don't look at them. Glad some of your relatives aren't here right now, right? Or how about this one? As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard in his bed. Okay? I have back problems, so I really get the part about turning in bed. I can't stay comfortable. You know, some of you people lay down in bed and you wake up in the same position. I'd love to do that. I'm in that same position for how long, dear? 3 minutes? Five, maybe? And then I'm constantly turning. So I'm going, I wonder if this applies to me. If I've been in bed for 9 minutes and I've turned over three times, is he talking to me? But I get what he means. Because you know what happens when the alarm clock goes off and you don't want to go to work, right? You shut it off, you take the covers, and you turn it over, and you go back to sleep. And pretty soon the boss says, well, I guess they don't want to come to work anymore. Why should they? He simply has your check sent to you. One of the realities is that when I can't get ahead, I'm damaging the prospects of my employer. Because I can't do the work that he's assigned to me. He may move me. I remember watching Melody's dad working in construction. It's a great place to see what people are made of. And so he'd hire a new guy and he'd tell him what to do. And if he couldn't do what he told him to do, then he'd move him down to something easier. And the easiest thing was to scrape up the dirt and clean up after a project. Pick up the wood and throw it in the wherever they wanted it and clean up. The guy couldn't hack that. He was fired. Employer always knows who's giving the full amount and who's not. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says, King James, read it with me. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. The boss knows you're wasting his money, you're wasting his time, and he finally gets, and then you get upset because, well, he's not giving me the same breaks he's giving to other people. Actually, he's giving you better breaks, but he had to demote you because you couldn't do it. And so in the process of the demotion, you get upset, you get bitter. That boss, he's just out to get me. I've heard that so many times. He's out to get me. Well, actually, he's out to get you a job. You just don't want to take the one he's got. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke to the eyes, according to Proverbs 10:26. And pretty soon they have to be gone and let go. And you know what it's like if you've been let go from job and job and job and job. Pretty soon, inside something dies. Well, the problem might be that inside, you start suffering from self-imposed fears. If I even apply for a job, and I get the job, I probably won't get the job, but if I get the job, guess what's going to happen? They're just going to fire me. That's probably what's going to happen. In fact, Solomon talks about this when he said, the slackard says what? There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. Now, if you get the import of what Solomon's saying, there isn't a lion out there. It's just in his mind. Everybody knows what it's like to have a fear. And Zig Ziglar again says, fears are false expectations appearing real. In other words, most fears never come to pass. This is why the devil works off of fear and why God says 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, fear not, do not be afraid. Cover to cover, he's trying to tell you, don't be afraid. I've got your back. I'm with you. Now, this kind of scenario where we're constantly afraid causes all sorts of problems. Husbands who marry mommies to take care of them. Couples who use the government to pay their bills. Adult children who come home to live rent-free and food-free for the rest of their lives. It goes on and on and on. There is a way to get out of this. And God gives lots of prescriptions. In fact, in God's prescriptions, we begin to understand what Benjamin Franklin said so long ago. If we're going to excel and get the benefits that God wants to bless us with, we've got to dump those attitudes. And we've got to have God's prescription. Let's take a look at four of them. Have you been to the grocery store lately? I'm always marveling when Melody and I go to the grocery store. Seems like we go usually once a month to get all of our major supplies, and we do that at the beginning of the month. I'm always amazed every month at the change that happens from month to month. I'm amazed at the fact that now the vegetable section, where we used to get these vegetables in the frozen vegetable section, used to be a huge section at Sam's Club, Costco. And now it's just one freezer container. But over on the other side, they used to have just one freezer container. It's now a whole section of pre-prepared food you just slap in the microwave. I thought it was pretty bad. Melody will tell you, I thought it was pretty bad when mashed potatoes came in frozen version. I mean, what's wrong with instant? You do know that the mashed potatoes that are frozen are instant, right? But this one probably, this is probably one of the things that drove me nuts when I saw it the first time. Sliced peanut butter. Peanut butter slices. Now, I don't know where you come from, and I'm sorry if I offend you. Well, no, I'm not. But if you're too lazy to take a knife out, take the top off a peanut butter jar, and spread the peanut butter, that's lazy. Now, I've eaten cheese that looks like this. I will not eat one of these. So I know what has to happen to make cheese do this. And they'll have to use the same process, except the cheese, you know, cheese does coagulate. Peanut butter doesn't. So to get it to coagulate, I can't imagine what's in it. But if you're that lazy, come on. In fact, I didn't even want to show that because it gave me nightmares. Let's move on. So what are the prescriptions? Here's number one. The number one prescription from God. When we refuse to feed a person who doesn't work, then we have God's number one position. What? That doesn't sound very kind. Well, it's very biblical. Read with me 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not with this, at your house, people who don't want to eat, don't need to come to the table. Well, that doesn't sound very Christ-like. It is very Christ-like. Did you notice it's the New Testament? Laziness, the Bible tells us, is one of the most damaging issues to the reputation of Jesus Christ. By the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground. You've got to work hard to eat. It goes all the way back. Now, the value in experiencing hunger, for those of you who went through the 21-day Daniel fast with us, you understand that the value of experiencing hunger is that you begin to be motivated for that which is godly. You begin to cry out to God for what you need. And God real quickly says, when it comes to not having anything, work, work. Now, I've worked since the days, my earliest days. I had a job when I was 10. By the time I was 12, I had 3 jobs. By the time I was 14, I had 4 jobs. I love to work because, well, I don't love to work. Let me be honest. I don't love to work at all. What do I love? I love the harvest. I love the check. You know, when I was 15, 16, I was making more than my dad was a week. That was so much fun. That was so much fun. I remember loaning my dad money. I remember paying for my... Now listen, I loved being able to do this, reach down into my pocket and pull out a wad of money and pay for it. When I was in 7th grade, my English teacher came to me. How many of you remember Scholastic Book Service? Remember, you buy the book from Scholastic and you order them, you give them the money? I bought, in 7th grade, I bought $135 worth of books. I pulled out a wad of cash from my pocket and I paid for it in cash. My teacher called my mother to find out where I had stolen the money from. And my mother said, no, I'm sorry, he has more money than we do. Why? Because I worked. Now, the prescription's very simple. I got to go to McDonald's anytime I wanted to. Now, I'm sorry I did because I wouldn't eat there if it was the last place on earth. It's not food, it's a chemistry experiment. Now I would go and eat something healthy. But I could go, I could buy everybody's. I can remember bringing back big grocery bags full of hamburgers for our youth group and feeding everybody with great big bags that I bought of hamburgers, like grocery bag size. Listen, you and I have this opportunity to understand that if we will work, God will reward and give us the finances we need. Second, I said there's 4 prescriptions. When we develop diligence in each of our tasks, this is what he's talking about again, this idea that you and I need to work hard, do what's important, do it quickly. In fact, chapter 6 of Proverbs talks about this. Go home and read the chapter. He talks about, go to the ant, you lazy person, observe its ways and grow wise. How many pest companies exist because of this Bible verse? Melody and I, when we lived in Florida, they had these big ones and these little ones. And you would call them up and they'd say, which one is it? Because the big ones were easy to get rid of. The little ones were very, very hard. So we had the little ones. And I can remember that the pest guy said, I want to be honest with you. I'll come back as many times as I need to. But don't expect these guys to be eradicated quickly. Go to the ant, you lazy person. Observe its ways. I will not be eradicated. I will have what I want. I will work and I will work and you will throw pesticide at me and I will still keep coming. I will go learn that lesson. That's diligence. Fight. Talks about this being gazelle intensity. I'm talking about this as being ant intense. I mean, just, I'm coming. Another lesson of the ant, and that is to get up early to accomplish your daily tasks. Last summer, I can remember the ants in the bathroom. Got up early in the morning to go to the bathroom, and the ants were just running in our bathroom, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. You know, we were trying everything to get rid of them. They just kept going. While I was sleeping, they were moving. I was thinking to myself, my goodness. And then I read this Bible verse as I was reading through Proverbs. Read it with me, 6:9. It says, how long, lazy bones? How long will you love sleep? When will you wake up? Get up early. Get moving. Get going. Now, you say, well, you know, I work all night. Great. Well, get up early. Don't spend 14 hours in bed. Get moving. Get moving. One more. When we realize our time is limited, and we several years ago, I ran across this Bible verse. And at those days, I was much younger. Eddie, I was a young guy then. I thought, man, this is no big deal. Let's read it together. Our lives last 70 years, and if we are strong, 80 years. Now, did you catch that? Now, there's more to the verse. You can read it on your own. There's more to the verse. But I want you to catch the part I'm talking about. Our lives last 70, I said 70. Thinking 80 looks good. I can see 80. In fact, Lord, I'd like to go, can we go a little bit further than that? I read those stories on television, you know, I listen to those stories, read those stories in when they come up about longevity and how, well, the average person is now living, the average man is living till 79.3. And I'm going, keep moving, just keep moving. What they're saying is the person born today is going to live that long, not the guy who was born way back there is going to live that long. But then they say, but if you eat right, you can extend your life. And I go, okay, I'm going to eat right. And then I remember what the Bible says, and it says, if you would obey your parents, your life will be long. And I said, man, I got that one down. And I keep looking for these things. But listen, even if I did everything right, and then comes the accountability judgment. And so with that in mind, I realize that time is limited. Death is certain. The second coming of Jesus is closer than it's ever been before. And the maximum number of productive years I have left, I sat down and started making a calendar of the things I wanted to do before I died. Now, you know, this is very popular amongst the pagans. They have something called the what? The bucket list. Things I want to do for Christ. I have a list of things I want to accomplish. Let me encourage you to do a little calculation. I remember teaching this one time, and one of my friends said, but Pastor, I'm already over 80. I said, you're living on borrowed time, buddy. He just passed away this last year. He made it 83, 84. Wow, I'll tell you. We don't know how long we're going to have. A little later in that same chapter of Psalm 90, he says this. Read with me. Teach us to realize the brevity of life. Why? so that we may grow in wisdom. In other words, you're not very bright until you figure out you're going to die and how soon that is. Wow. I was reading through this passage, it was like 8 years ago, and going, ouch, I don't like this passage. Guess who wrote it? Moses. This is the guy who had more face time with God himself than anybody else in the book except Jesus Christ. Wow. Moses lived to 120 simply by the grace of God because he just had a mission to do at 80. He had a mission to do. You see, I've come to realize that time requires accountability on my part. And time is entrusted to me to do God's work on my part. Jesus said this, read it with me. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Now, from this, I got a little paraphrase for you. Okay, take your two fingers, put them on your carotid artery. Can you feel a pulse? If you can't, we'll call 911. Got a pulse? Now, as long as you got a pulse, you need to remember this little phrase. You're not done until you're dead. You know you're done when you're dead. God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with you yet. And I need to be diligent because time is unrecoverable. I can't get Saturday back. Of you who are older can say amen when I get to the end of this sentence. As you get older, there are less than 24 hours in a day, or so it seems. Life goes by quickly. Did any of you know? Going by fast. Way too fast for me. What's the point of all this? Romans 14:12 again. Read it with me. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. I want to be able to give my account to God, and I want to make sure that he's pleased with what I account. I know you do too. So let me just give you a little line to write in the white space. I want to do the will of God. That's what I want. Here's my little line. The Word of God is the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God. I just need to do the Word. And if I get that, I will remember that every single hour of my life counts. I need to be diligent. I need to quit slacking. I need to quit being lazy. I need to quit giving an excuse. At the school, there's a sign in every room, and it says this. If it's important, you'll make a way. It's a different way to say our big idea today, and that is this. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. I want you to get so much from God, but you only get what you plant. I don't get what Melody plants. I don't get what you plant. I only get what I plant. And the same is true about you. God doesn't have some sort of federal system where he's just going to give you things that you didn't earn. God's system is planting so you can harvest. And I want you to harvest it all that God has for you. Let's pray. Father, this study has caused us to look deeply into the recesses of our own heart and soul. And some of us have found things that we don't like and that we don't desire. I know I'm one of them. Lives. That is a greater cause of our lack of effectiveness and success than anything or anyone else. So, Father, forgive us for our failures to be diligent. We understand now that we have chosen the easy way, the lesser of the choices, on repeated occasions, and we're reaping what we have sown. Forgive us for our failure to understand opportunities often come dressed up as more work. We now realize that we have chosen soft ways and the easy way of life, and as a result, we've missed the great opportunities you've sent. Forgive us for damaging lately, and we ask you to forgive us for not taking initiative, for not directing ourselves, for a disrespect. For not using foresight and planning our own future. We ask you to give courage to us so we can live a life of diligence, to stop depending on the handouts of others and work so we can eat and meet our needs and some of our greeds. Lord, we are praying today that you would give us a desire for integrity, to live a life of diligence. Father God, we want to be men and women who radiate Jesus Christ, and we want to be able to have the harvest that comes from the planting. Lord, show us in this moment and this day what you want us to take away from this message. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.
As Dr. Smith prayed that request for favor and admission of repentance, his thoughts turned to you as well. Will you take the prescription of God for your own areas of laziness so he can bless you with his favor and goodness? We hope so. Perhaps you would like to consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you. If you would like to explore how to enjoy a deeper life with God, one that God is pleased with, Dr. Smith has written a daily devotional book that will help you do just that. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you to see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. You can order a copy of In His Presence from Amazon by clicking the link on the side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, I'm your host Mike Powers, praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.